As we come to these words this morning, I have a question for you. And my question is this. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Seems like an easy question to ask. And as I asked that, probably each of you would have had different thoughts or ideas or answers come into your minds. And then in the awkward silence that followed, you would wonder if the answer that came into your mind is the answer that's in my mind, or whether you've caught what the trick question is this morning and what you should be saying in answer to that question. I don't know what you thought of, and there are actually lots of different ways you could answer that question, all of which would be good and right. Today, I just want to focus on one image that Jesus uses to describe the relationship between him and his people. An image that Jesus uses to describe what it looks like to enjoy that life that Jesus came to bring, that life that lasts forever. And an image that helps us to think about our own response to Jesus this morning. Whether we'd use the word Christian to apply to ourselves or not, whoever we are, this image will help us to think about our own response to Jesus this morning. And the image that Jesus uses is this image of a vine. So you can picture in your mind a vineyard. Now, those of you who've been here for the last few weeks will know that each week I come with a weekly London anecdote from the time that we spent in London a few weeks ago. We didn't see any vineyards though, so I don't have an anecdote this week. So you just have to imagine in your mind a vineyard, the sort that they don't have in London. And that all these rows of carefully cultivated, lovingly tended vines. These branches bearing these clusters of grapes. Do you have that image in your mind? The vineyard, the vines, carefully cultivated, the bunches of grapes. And that's the image that Jesus gives us. And in this image, God the Father is, we're told in verse 1, the vine dresser, the one who comes along with the pruning shears to tend to the vines and make sure they keep producing all of that wonderful fruit. And in the image, Jesus is the vine, and his followers are the branches. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's the basic image that we have in our minds. The vineyard, God the Father coming with his pruning shears, the vine that's Jesus, and these branches that come off and bear fruit. And as we think about that image, two questions for us this morning that come from this picture of this vineyard and this true vine. Two questions for us to think about this morning. And the first question is this. Are you joined to the vine? That's the most important, most basic question that we need to ask of ourselves this morning. Am I joined to the vine? Are we joined to the vine? A question that we're prompted to ask as Jesus gives this image. Do we have a real living connection with Jesus? That's the most important question today. Are you joined to the vine? In that image of the vineyard, you have the life that flows through the vine, out into the branches, and it causes those fruit to appear, those grapes to appear. If a branch is on its own, not connected with the vine, then it doesn't have that life running through it, and you won't get any grapes or any other fruit from it. And so when it comes to the eternal life that Jesus speaks about, that eternal life that he came to bring, real lasting life flows through Jesus into his people, those who are joined to him. Do we have a real living connection with Jesus? A question for each one of us. And to make up for the fact I didn't have a London anecdote today, I do have a quiz question. Do you like quiz questions?
Yes.
Yes. One of you is shaking your head, who I won't name for the purpose of the live stream, but they're sat over there. The quiz question is this. How many times does the word Christian appear in the Bible? That's a quiz question for you. How many times does the word Christian appear in the Bible? Does anyone want to shout out a guess?
Once.
We've got you're in the right area. It's actually three times. You correctly guessed that it's probably some kind of trick. There's a very small number. Even though we talk lots about being Christians, actually, the word Christian appears three times. You can look it up later. I think that's true of every translation you'd have in front of you today. So it's not the most common description of those who are Christ's people in the Bible, Christians. There's another description that's much more common, a description that appears over 200 times in the New Testament, a description of Christians as being those who are in Christ, or in Him, or in Jesus Christ. A relationship that's not primarily about church attendance and prayer and giving to charity and whatever else, but a relationship that's about this. Are you united with Jesus? Are you one with Jesus? Are you in union with Jesus? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. And here in John 15, Jesus uses this image of the vine and the branches to describe that union and that connection, and to show us how there is no lasting life without Him, no lasting life apart from Him. The importance of being united to Jesus and being in Christ. Which obviously raises the question, what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be joined to the vine? And to think about that question, maybe we could pick up on one word that Jesus says in the first verse of chapter 15. He doesn't just describe himself as the vine, but he describes himself as the true vine. That Jesus comes and says, I am not just the vine, but the true vine. And why does he call himself the true vine? Well, Jesus is not the only vine mentioned in the Bible. And in fact, the image of a vine is used quite a lot in the Old Testament, in the first part of the Bible, to describe God's people, Israel, the nation that God had chosen for himself to enjoy a special relationship with him. Often, the language of a vine is used to describe Israel, but always in connection with failure, always in connection with disobedience, always in connection with turning away from God and hearing words of rebuke or judgment. So we could think, for example, of Isaiah chapter 5. You don't need to turn there. But in Isaiah chapter 5, God says, let me sing for my beloved, my loved song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Then it goes on to say, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Those of you who know the Bible story will know the kind of thing that those words are describing. Here you have these people who were brought out from slavery in Egypt, where they were oppressed and being crushed. They were brought out by a mighty hand, the mighty hand of God, brought out to be his people. And as they went through the wilderness, wandering about, they were watered and fed by the Lord God of heaven, who kept them and guided them and stayed with them and brought them into this new land, planting them in a new land that they would call their own. And as he planted them in that new land, he looked for the fruit of justice and righteousness and love and mercy and goodness. But instead of that fruit, what did God see among his people? Bloodshed, injustice, sin, disobedience, people turning away from him and turning away from his words. And actually, the Bible says that we could tell a similar kind of story about each one of us, about each one of our lives. Our history is quite different. And yet, all of us are people who've been experiencing God's generous provision throughout our lives. We had the wonderful rain this morning, and we always complain about the rain. But without rain, we'd have no plants, we'd have no food, we wouldn't be here. And God continues to cause his sun to shine and the rain to fall and brings us food and gives us the life and breath and everything we have. And we can join the service in the building or at home today. God continues to provide for us so generously. And yet we haven't always produced fruit to God's glory, to the glory of the one who made us. Instead, we've grown up living for our own glory, living our own way, turning away from God in lots of different ways, disobeying his words, guilty of what the Bible calls sin. And that sin means that rather than enjoying the life that God created us for, well, our relationship with God is disrupted. And left to ourselves, we're just heading not to life, but to death. Endless death. That's the stark story that the Bible gives us, the description of ourselves and where we stand based on what we've done. But God's plan to fill the world with fruit was not ultimately led to failure by Israel's disobedience or by our disobedience and sin. No, God had a plan to fill his world with fruit, a plan that involved him sending his son into this world, the eternal son who came into this world, born as a baby, growing up with the name Jesus, the one who obeyed where Israel and all of us have disobeyed. One who always did what was right, who always did what was just, who always showed perfect love to others and to his Father in heaven. The one who obeyed where we've disobeyed. And then the one who died where we deserve to die. Dying on the cross, suffering under the curse of our disobedience. Dying in our place, dying for our sin. Then rising again so we can have life. Instead of the death we deserve, life, real life, lasting life, true life, knowing God forever. And now he calls us to believe in him, to trust in him. And as we come to him in faith, we're brought into that union with him, a union where he takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness. This union where we're forgiven, where we're brought into a new life with God, where we're welcomed into his presence now and forever. And this union where he promises to keep pouring that rich spiritual life into us each day of our lives. Being joined to the vine is about that union that we enjoy as we believe and trust in Jesus who died for us so we can have forgiveness and life. And that's why the question is so important, the question of, are you joined to the vine? Are you joined to Jesus? Are you united to him? Can you sing those words that we sang early in the service and know them to be true? Now I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me. Those are wonderful words if we know them to be true, aren't they? To belong to Jesus. Hey, if that is us this morning, if we do know what it means to belong to Jesus and to be known by him and to be in him, then the main message of these words in John 15 is to stay where you are, to keep trusting, to keep relying on him, to keep depending on him, to keep looking to him for life and everything else. As I was reading John 15, there was a word that kept coming up that you may have realised was coming up a lot. I'm not going to do this as a quiz question, but the word is abide or remain. Abide in me, says Jesus. Remain in me. Abide in my word. Remain in my words. as we come to know life in Jesus. So we keep looking to him, to keep trusting him, to keep depending on him for life and everything else. Do we belong to Jesus? Are we joined to the vine? And that's an important question, because there's a warning that comes in this passage as well, in these words that Jesus speaks. We could look down at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. These are quite serious words, aren't they? A description of judgment. Judgment for those who persist in rejecting that life that Jesus came to bring. For those who persist in rejecting Jesus. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Now, we do need to be careful this morning that we don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying or who Jesus is talking about. That Jesus here isn't talking about those who are in a real living connection with Jesus. Those who enjoy a real living union with Jesus. That living union that's sustained by God's Spirit. Elsewhere, Jesus is quite clear that if we have life in Jesus, we have eternal life. We have endless life. We are secure in that life. I'll just read some words from John chapter 6, where Jesus says, this is from verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." As we are brought into union with Jesus, that's a secure union where we enjoy eternal, endless, lasting life. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, we might sing. Now, these words aren't talking about those who have a real living connection with Jesus, as if we need to worry that we could be snapped off at a moment's notice. It's talking about those who look like they're branches with a connection to Jesus, but don't really have a connection at all. You think back through the journey we've been on in John's Gospel, if you've been with us, we've seen quite a few people who come to Jesus and seem to respond positively to him, and in a sense even believe in him. But then they turn away, they don't keep following him, and they show they never really understood who he was in the first place. Now, Judas is the most obvious person in that category. He spent those years with Jesus, yet he didn't really know life in Jesus, but ultimately turned away. And that's why the important question this morning, that I've asked a number of times now, that comes to each one of us, that comes to me and all of us today, the question is not, do you come to church? I can see the answer to that question this morning. The question isn't, do you tick the word Christian on any form that you can get when you end up in hospital or when you do the census or whatever else? The question is, are you united to Jesus? Are you joined to the vine? Have you asked Jesus to fill you with his life? Are you trusting and depending and relying on him? That's the most important question for me and for every one of us this morning. And if you're not sure what your answer is, if you can't confidently say yes to that question, then today you can come to Jesus. And as I just read, he won't push you away. He won't cast you out. He won't tell you to go away. But he'll welcome you. He'll give you life. Life without end, in union with him. That first question that comes to us in John 15. Are you joined to the vine? Are you united to Jesus? But there's another question that comes to us more briefly in John 15. A question that comes out of that first question. The question, are you bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit? Come back to that image that was in your mind earlier. It may have stayed in your mind all this time. I don't know. This image of a vineyard and all of those rows of vines with the branches coming off. And the reason that you would grow that kind of vineyard and the reason you'd grow those vines is for fruit. You don't grow those long rows of vines just for their appearance or so you can win the Chelsea flower show or whatever. You grow them for fruit. You want to get grapes. You want to get a harvest of fruit. And here in John 15, when Jesus talks about branches, we have that same expectation of fruit. That as the life of Jesus flows through us, through the branches, so we will bear fruit. Look at verse 5. We're told at the end of the verse, we'll start at the end, apart from me, you can do nothing. Without this union with Jesus, we won't be bearing any fruit. We won't bear any meaningful, lasting fruit if we're not joined to Jesus. But whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Not just a bit, much fruit. And again, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. As we're joined to Jesus and his life flows through us, so we will bear fruit to the glory of God the Father, Jesus tells us. It's a sign of our living union with him that we bear fruit. And what is that fruit? Again, not a quiz question, but I don't think we need to just focus on a specific answer this morning. I think the fruit that Jesus has in mind is surely just all of the fruit that we might bear to the glory of God the Father as his power works in us. There are a few things that are specifically mentioned in this passage. The fruit of obedience, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, that fruit that comes obeying Jesus' words. The fruit of love for each other, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how has Jesus loved us? That greatest love in dying on the cross for us, that deep sacrificial love. And the fruit of witness as well. Verse 27, you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. And as we're joined to Jesus, he enables us to bear witness to him in this world, to bear witness to that life we have in him. And this is all part of being a Christian. But being a Christian involves bearing fruit. Being joined to Jesus involves bearing fruit. Being a friend of Jesus involves bearing fruit. It's part of the life that Jesus came to bring. It's part of our experience of love. Again, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It's part of our experience of joy. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It's part of what it means for us to be in step with that greatest purpose that we were created for. By this my Father is glorified, that as we bear fruit, we glorify the God who made us. That being a Christian means bearing fruit. And we need to get the order of things right here. That we belong to Jesus, and then we bear fruit. It's not that we bear fruit first, and then Jesus looks at us and thinks, that looks like a nice branch, I'll put that into my vine. Now, we belong to Jesus first, and that's where our fruit bearing comes from. When in verse 14 Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you, we could get an image in our minds that Jesus sets us a kind of daily friendship exam. We have to do this exam every day, and if we don't get a high enough score, then Jesus says, sorry, that's it, no longer my friend. And what Jesus is saying is that obedience is a characteristic of a friend of him. That if we are friends with Jesus, then we'll love him, we'll listen to him, and we'll follow his words. Not perfectly. Our fruit bearing will always fall short of what we would like, and even what it will be in the future. But if we belong to Jesus, then the Father is at work pruning and shaping, and that fruit will grow in our lives. Not perfectly, not as much as we would like. And those of us who know Jesus will be very aware of our failings even in the last week as we meet together this morning. But as the life of Jesus flows out into the branches, so we will bear fruit to the glory of God the Father. So that question that comes to us, are we bearing fruit? And the answer for those of us who know Jesus is probably this morning, yes, but not as much as I'd like. And today Jesus is inviting us through these words to come to him again, to ask that he would continue to work in us, that we would live those fruit-bearing lives to the glory of God the Father. And the importance for each one of us this morning to keep listening to the words of Jesus, to keep listening to his words. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Jesus' words make us clean. And then verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Part of what it means to abide in Jesus is to let his words abide in us, to keep listening to his words. And that's surely part of how the Father does his pruning work, isn't it? I think when we read about the Father as the vine dresser pruning the branches that bear fruit so they bear more fruit, we might think of how God uses those painful experiences of our lives to grow us and to grow us in our character and to grow us to bear more fruit in the future. But also our Father in heaven continues to prune us and shape us through these words of Jesus as he corrects us, as he reminds us of who we really are, as he prepares us for life in a sometimes hostile world that we read about at the end of John 15. That where there are so many voices in the world around us telling us to find our identity in our jobs or in our political views or in our personality or our nationality and how we feel about yesterday's rugby, as we have all of these voices telling us to find our identity in those things, need to keep listening to the voice of Jesus telling us to find our identity in him and in our union with him, to come to him, to abide in him, to rely on him, to look to him for life and for fruit. As we abide in him, we'll know lasting life. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Let's pray.